Ryan. Welcome back to Castle Comms episode 110. Today we have a good one. Today we have Rev Trev on Super Bowl weekend. Rev Trev, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
You know, I'm caffeinated. I got my podcast phone sex worker like voice on, and I'm feeding a baby a bottle. So I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing
got
today,
my guy? Radio man voice.
Right, the old-timey radio. I do have a face for radio. I've been told that quite a few times.
You know, I've been told that too, and then I got a high-definition camera, and I was like, yep, it's true.
So when you got that high-definition camera, was it one of those things where you're just like, I need a mustache. I need something to block as much of my face as humanly possible.
Well, I was like, man, you know, maybe I, instead of blurring the back, I don't even blur anything, but if I, you know, blurred the background, maybe I just blur everything. And I'm just like the blurry guy.
Just the blurry guy.
Give people something to guess about.
Right. You have like a super expensive setup, but it looks like you have the cheapest Walmart camera possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you could just be like the noir guy and just do black and white.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Like when it comes to like streaming and stuff, I prefer a streamer with a camera. But at the same time, I know not everybody wants to have a camera. So
right. Some people like to hide behind the, you know, a VTuber. Some people don't like to do the camera at all. Like they're, people have their reasons for doing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things where I dabbled a little bit into the VTuber wing, but it's hard to be personable when you have a cartoon whose only thing they do is open their mouth like a sex doll.
Yeah, right.
Some things totally get natural. Lost in translation. Right?
Yeah.
Like it's supernatural.
Yeah. Oh, this is totally like I don't know. I can't watch this. It's just weird to me.
Totally. So with the mustache, I have to know, now, have you always been a fan of the mustache? Was it like a navel thing where you like, you know, that's like all you're really allowed to have? Did you get it because of that? Or were you just grow up and just love the 70s porn stash? Like what was your
honestly
gateway to it?
I mean, it was the only thing I could do in the military because I couldn't have like any other facial hair. So I was like, all right, I'm going to grow this thing out and I'm going to grow it nasty. And I'm going to let it go. And then, like, I've just had so many different people, like, in the Navy. Like, when I shaved it before, they're like, why'd you shave that? You look better with it. So you should bring it back. And so I did.
One of my favorite naval moments is when I was in Iraq. My chain of command was like, you guys can grow the grossest stashes you want. And I had a full Tom Selleck mustache my entire fucking deployment. And it was so bad. The local Iraqis were like, your Iraqi name is Saeed because you're always smiling and you have a mustache. It's like, yes. Indoctrination. So
exactly.
Speaking of the armed services, I have to know before we continue this conversation, because this answer is going to pretty much indicate where we're going to go. Are you a jalapeno cheese guy or a chocolate peanut butter kind of guy?
I preferred the jalapeno cheese, if we're being honest.
That's a good answer.
I because like anytime I ate one of those, it was just like nice and warm, and it just didn't feel right to be eating like warm chocolate out in the middle of the desert whenever we would eat them or on the middle of a boat.
Right.
So I was like, I'll just have the jalapeno cheese. That's what I usually got.
Chocolate in country is just so like, it's so random because you'll get care packages of like Girl Scout cookies and they'll just like melt and become like one conglomerate major cookie.
Right.
Yeah. It kind of turns you off from chocolate as a whole. And then, you know, after you eat MREs for a while, you don't shit. And then when you do shit, it looks like chocolate peanut butter spread. And that also is kind of a turnoff for me personally. Mm-hmm. So for being someone who's been deployed to those settings, I have to ask, what was your most fun moment in the heat?
In the heat?
Yes.
I mean, so when I deployed to Central America. And so I dealt with like humid heat. And honestly, we didn't eat MREs. So when I deployed, I deployed as a SWIC. So we deployed to like places where we stayed in like hotels and stuff like that. So we just ate out and everything like that. But my experience with like an MRE was like during SWIC school. And that was right at like the end. So like SEALs have Hell Week. Well, we had the tour. And the tour is like, it's not a week, it's 72 hours. And basically, in order to keep your nutrition up during the 72 hours, they would make us eat an MRE almost every 2 hours, I would think. And so you're not hungry, but you're shoving an MRE down your throat. And like, people would literally, like, we'd be out on the beach and people, like, you'd look over and your buddy next to you is like digging it into the sand, like trying to hide it. And like, if they caught the guy, they like, you're just getting your shit kicked in. So like, it just made it so much worse because they're like, you've got to keep your nutrition. And they were like using nutrition against you and stuff. And they were like, you've got to keep your nutrition up. You have to eat this MRE right now. Do not waste any of it. Shove it down your throat. We don't care. And you're just like, I never want to see an MRE ever again.
I'm just picturing a corpsman with like a food pyramid picture screaming and pointing to it.
Like, the corpsman, it's like you got the SWIC instructors. They were down your throat. And the, like, while you're eating, the corpsman is walking behind you because when you're in the tour, they give you this like little like pill sensor that you take, and they have this little like device that like monitors your vitals and stuff. So they come behind you while you're eating, and they're like monitoring your vitals to make sure you're not dying.
Corpsmen are funny like that, and then they'll be like, "If you pass out, I'm gonna silver bullet you so good."
Oh, dude, a lot of times, like, you think, oh, you know, you're in California, Coronado, it's nice and warm and stuff. No, when I went through SWIC school, it was like January, February, like right then and there. And let me tell you, the Pacific Ocean is not warm.
No.
And on a cloudy day, you'd have guys hype out and they'd have them fucking hunched over in the back of the ambulance getting the thermometer up their ass. And they're like, don't ever pass out again. Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, a silver bullet is when a corpsman puts a thermometer up one's asshole to get a core body temperature. So every time, you know, you see that Coors Light commercial with the come on, ride the train, the silver bullet train, it's going to have a little bit of a different meaning. So, yeah, you know, that whole thing, for those of you who don't know what SWIC boats are, those are the really gnarly boats that pick up seals and do things out on the water. It's pretty much riverines from Vietnam on steroids.
Yep.
There's a lot more to it. Exactly. And there are still coastal riverine units too. Like, I had the fun of shooting with Riverine Squadron 1 down at Hunter Liggett. It was a lot of fun doing that stuff. But yeah, my most fun with the heat was in Iraq when I passed a kidney stone in a porta potty that was 130 degrees because I drank too many Rippets. And Rippets are really nice energy drinks that you just kind of find all over the place. And then, you know, we were also drinking like those like crazy ones you buy in Iraq, that one with like the tiger on it,
right?
Like one called Ghost, and then the locals have names for it too. Like, this one's called ISIS Killer. It's like, I'm pretty sure that's meth. I'm pretty sure this is meth.
Oh man, I heard stories about like the deployments and stuff for the Middle East and stuff. It's just like it's just cowboy shit over there.
Oh, it truly is. So
yeah,
going through the Spec Ops school, you have to have quite the mindset to go through that kind of stuff. Now, were you always kind of a mentally tough person? Did you like have to adopt this kind of stuff? Like, how did you adopt this mindset to get through such hell?
Honestly, going through high school, I was in JROTC, which is nothing. Okay. That was super lame. It was Army JROTC. Like, I was just like, I'm doing this so that I can, you know, get in and make a little bit of rank. Cause when you are in ROTC in high school, they start you out as an E3. Like, you don't start out as like a E1, E2, you're straight to E3. So I did that for that. And then come my senior year of high school, this is funny. So I was JROTC. I was a swimmer and I was in marching band, not your typical, Spec Ops candidate. And so
military candidate.
Yeah, that too. So my senior year, I decided, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I started looking at it and I was like, I don't want to be a SEAL. I was like, I feel like everybody wants to be a SEAL. And I was like, I'm going to do something that you don't see a lot. I'm going to go be a SWIC. And like, Because it's funny, because like every time you're like, oh, I like, even when I was a SWCC, they were like, oh, you're a SEAL. And I was like, yep, totally. 100%. I'm a SEAL on boat. And so you just kind of rolled with it. But anyways, I'm getting off topic here. But as far as like mental toughness and everything like that to go through the training, it, I would say I adopted it. So I went through Navy Navy boot camp.
Same thing. Great mistakes. Yeah, Navy bullshit. Same fucking exactly. thing.
So I did that in 2012, and it was. I mean, it was just kind of like it wasn't like difficult. It was just like, you know,
tedious and boring. And
yeah, and like you're just. You're,
what month did you go?
I went in August. So oh, I you're headed so in. Lucky. Yeah, I was headed into winter, so I wasn't there shoveling snow and freezing my ass off, but like I was in like the special like
the Arleigh Burke boot camp boat.
Yeah, the Arleigh Burke. Yeah, the for all the special ops candidates and stuff. So I was Division 821, and so I mean we were getting up like really early and going and working out and doing everything before everyone. And I remember I even fell asleep while marching one time. So that was fun. But like when I got into SWCC training, so I was the first class to officially after being pushed back after boot camp due to the fact that they lost my blood work. Surprise.
What?
I was a part of the first SWCC class to go through Bud's prep in Great Lakes. So I got to go through Bud's prep with a whole bunch of SEALs and a whole bunch of SWCC candidates or SEAL candidates, SWCC candidates. And that was just it was a really cool experience. And then we went out to Coronado. And I at that point when I made it through that Bud's prep, because Bud's prep was just kind of like a 6 week long, like workout sesh. They were just getting you prepped for going to Coronado and getting you more physically fit after boot camp. Cause that didn't do shit for you. And
what do you mean? I learned how to use a stamp kit real good.
Yeah, right.
You telling me SEALs don't use stamp kits on the field?
Absolutely not. But
you guys aren't standing
that,
above confirmed kills with a stamp kit. Be like,
oh, God,
mine.
I need to get this stamp. Yeah, seaman so and so claimed.
Jesus.
But I got to Coronado, and I just like so. I got to Coronado, and I think it was like the week before Christmas, and they sent us all home, and it was funny because like you're in training and they sent you home, and you're like you go home and like people are like, oh, you're going through training. I'm like, I ain't done shit yet. And so like I was talking to my family and I was just like, excuse me, and I was like, I'm not going to call my family and tell them that I quit. And so every day that was what I thought about
kept you going.
So every day I would, you know, embrace the suck. Like when training started, I mean, one day they hit you with it. I actually did like two rounds of SWCC training because I got all the way to the tour and failed a navigation test. And I ended up like the day before the tour, I started back one day and had to restart and go through the entire training again. So I did it twice. And,
so you were just double prepared.
Oh yeah. So, and then, I mean, the second time around, it still sucked, but it was like, I know what's expected of me, what to expect, sort of.
Right.
I mean, of course, they're still like kicking you in the dick all the time, but it's like, you just go and you set a goal. Like my goal was to have a cup of coffee every single day and just call my parents and just be like, I'm here. I'm still here. I'm not done. And so like, that was what drove me to do it and get me through it was just the fact that I wasn't going to call my family. I wasn't going to call anyone and ever be like, hey, listen, I failed. Or if I had got kicked out because I failed, that was one thing, but I was never going to be like, hey, I rang the bell. Like I quit. Like that was never going to happen. I was getting through and that was it. Like, and so I did, and I made it all the way through, got my pin and went to my team.
So one of those like things about like the mental fortitude is in the military, you know, we are pushed in so many different ways that you're just not pushed civilian side, and it gives you quite the outlook on things in regular day life. Like, I'm sure when you transferred over to the reserves and you were dealing more with civilians, just the stuff people complain about, just the stuff that people do on a regular basis, you kind of are looking at it through a completely different perspective. Now, being somebody who's been there, literally done that, and is now almost completely on the other side, what is the biggest culture shock, would you say? Would it be like people not taking accountability? Would you say it's like, what's the thing that bothers you the most?
I would say the biggest thing that's bothered me most has been like people complaining about like work, like about putting in a hard day's work, like people complaining like, oh, I've got to do this XYZ tedious thing. Like, and it's just like, oh, I can't believe I have to do this. And I'm like, dude, like, this was everyday life. Like, and then the other thing that gets me is like just lazy people. Like, people are just lazy. Like,
and complacent.
And like, I'm just like, I don't understand you. Like, how are you getting by? Like, I don't get that. And I mean, I just look back and like, yeah, I had like some shitty leaders and stuff like that. But like now the people,
well, that's just
like,
the baseline military experience. Oh, yeah. Like, if you haven't had a shitty chain of command, were you even really in?
Yeah. And I can honestly say through my entire time, there was like in the military, there was some ups and downs with the leadership and stuff. But compared to like my civilian leadership now, like, in my current job, I'm just like, wow, like maybe I had a little bit better sometimes in the military. Like, at least like if I like at one point, we got into a discussion with one of my leaders in the military and we were like, hey, like, just let us do our job. And you know what that leader did? They backed off and they let us do our job. And if
imagine
we didn't
that.
Do something right, they like stepped in. But now it's like the civilian world. Micromanagement is just, it drives me absolutely nuts. Especially like, I did 10 years in the military. Like, I don't want someone breathing down my neck. Like, hey, what are you doing? How are you doing this? What's going on? Like, hey, XYZ, this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, stop. You trained me how to do the job. Let me do it. And if I fuck up, then step in and be like, hey, you fucked up. Here's how you're going to fix it. All right, cool. Right. Now move on. But, you know, that just doesn't happen.
I know that feeling 100%. And it's also like the perception of when you tell people you were in or are in, especially, you know, coming off of the war on terrorism that's, you know, technically over. Like, interviews and the way people talk to you, it's not great. Like, yeah. I don't know what your interviews, like, situations have been, but, you know, I've gone through and people have been like, oh, so you have PTSD or you did this. Or, like, I've had coworkers who's like, so how many people did you kill? I'm like, bro, like, shut the fuck up. What are you
talking
about?
Yeah, like, what? No, like, I got lucky. So when I was getting out of the military, I was kind of lost because I was like, the military didn't give me shit. For civilian skills. Like, right. I was looking at my resume and I had written it out in civilian terms. And I was like, boy, this really plays well if I go be a government contractor right now. And like,
right.
go do like,
you could go be a KBR dude. You could go like, you know, sit on a pipeline somewhere in Saudi Arabia or some crazy shit. But like, who wants to do that?
Yeah. Well, the thing, and then like, I was looking at it and like, people are like, oh, you're gone for 13 months. And like, but hey, you get paid well. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm gone for 13 months. Like, right. I don't want to do that anymore. Like, that's why I'm getting out of the military. Like, but I got lucky. And, my best friend, he was the vice president of this travel nurse recruiting agency.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
So he hooked me up. He helped me, you know, work on, like, I went through the whole process, like, as if he wasn't like my best friend. Like, he set me up with an interviewer. Like, I did an interview. Like, of course he like had me trained up and everything so I could, you know, not look like an idiot. Yeah. And so like, I did it. And, so that's really like my only like interview thing that I have now. And now, I mean, I'm actually in the process of going back into the Navy. to go
like full time or
yeah. So I'm gonna go back active as a reserve recruiter. So
yeah,
I have professional recruiter experience now. So like I understand like the process of recruiting, how to sell things and like jobs and blah, blah, blah. But now like the reason I'm doing this is just because the market that I'm in for like travel nurse, recruiting is just on a decline. Like the company I work for is just not like meeting the market standards, I guess. And so like I'm watching my paycheck literally just go down, and like it would, like when times were better with the travel nurse market, it was going like up and down. And so it was like, I don't like that fluctuation coming from the military where it was like a constant, like, I know that twice a month I'm getting paid this.
Right.
And so now like, and so, you know, I've got my wife, like we just bought a house. And then like immediately after we bought the house, the market just kind of like stopped. It just slowed down huge. And I was like, okay, that's uncomfortable. I don't like this. And then I got to thinking about it. And like, I talked to my wife's cousin, who's actually a Command Master Chief. And we were talking, and he was like, you know, you've got professional recruiting experience. You've got military experience. What's stopping you from taking those two and just like turning it into something and just like finishing your time in the military? He's like, and I'm like, well, I got out. I was like, I don't want to go back in. He's like, no, I understand. He's like, I get that. And he's like, but think about it. You literally have the experience. You have like now less than 10 years to go.
Yeah. You're past like, that hump. Once you get past 10, it becomes very alluring. Like I could just do 10 more.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so, and like, if, you know, I can get into this job, I mean, like I can excel in recruiting. I got into travel nurse recruiting with zero experience, none, never been a recruiter in my life. Never even was like, oh, I'm going to be a recruiter.
Your mindset. You don't allow yourself to fail on your own terms. So exactly. It's one of those things where it's just like, no matter they could ask you to probably like teach calculus and you'd probably buckle down and learn that shit and then teach.
Exactly. And you know, I got into the travel nurse thing and like I within shit, like 6 months, I was employee of the month. Like no problem.
Hell yeah.
No problem. I would like, and they were, and I, you know, I just like I did in the military, like how I did my day-to-day work, it was just consistency. Like, all
isn't it so nice working the civilian side around a bunch of people who aren't like fighting over bullets for their evals?
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, I was just like, okay, all right, easy. Like, and it's just like, all right, I'm just going to keep doing it. And then like, My best friend, actually, he left the company to go be a CEO of a different company. Nice. And then,
so now you have like, no ties to that company anymore because the guy who got you in is like, you know,
yeah, exactly. Already phased out. Exactly. And then like the mentor that he put me with, cause you know, he's the vice president. He can't like, just be like, hey, I'll be your guy. He gave me like his like number one manager. Like I worked with her for a while. And then she left and I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm not like, this is not like, I'm not enjoying this. Cause now like, I don't want to talk bad about anybody, but like my current manager is just like not the same. And so that's all I'm going to say about that is just like,
fair enough.
I just feel like once I started to look at it and look at the bigger picture, like I was like, this is what I need. Like I hope that it affords me the opportunity to continue my morning show stream. But then like I go back to some kind of like consistency with my financial stuff and just like I work remote and so I'm always at home and that drives me nuts because my wife, she's a CrossFit coach, nutrition coach. She leaves every day and like goes to work. And I'm like, I'm sitting here in my pajamas and I'm like, this is fucking stupid.
Right. With the dog. Like, yeah. What am I going to do?
Yeah. I'm just like, this is like, it's so like it's so boring. I'm just like, oh my God, like I've got to do something else. And like,
so Is that what introduced you to streaming and like Twitch as a platform? Was just that boredom of being at home? Or no, was this something you were into before?
Oh, no, I've been into it. So my background in streaming, I have been streaming, I would say off and on, and since 2017. Okay. So I've been streaming for quite some time. I started out on Facebook. I got my first PC, literally got my first PC ever in 2016, like right at the end, and started a stream like almost right after that, after figuring out how to set it all up and everything like that. And I started on Facebook. It was really shitty. I played PUBG and everything like that. And I was terrible at it because I didn't know where the keys were. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with my hands. And I just kept going. I kept doing it. And like, shit, like I was on Facebook for a while and ended up down at the bottom of the algorithm, apparently. And I was streaming to no viewers. And so I was like, all right, well, this isn't working out. There's nothing on Facebook for like gaming, really. Like, it was just not it. And then Mixer came out. I tried Mixer, and then Mixer shut down. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to try Twitch. I tried Twitch, wasn't getting anywhere. Then went back to Facebook, wasn't getting anywhere again. And then finally I was like, all right, I'm going to go back to Twitch and I'm going to put it in. I'm just going to go. And so I started like the Twitch stream, and like this was like 3 years ago, I think, or I don't know. I think it was about probably over 3 years ago now. I think, yeah, it was, because it was 2019, I think. Okay. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. And like I got the guys from the job I was in, this was after I was no longer a SWIC, and I was working out in California. And I got the guys, and they were there, like they helped me. And like I was playing consistently like League of Legends and like Call of Duty. I started out Call of Duty, and then I moved to League of Legends. And I started like really like grow from like self-promotion in League of Legends. Like, I don't know if you've ever played League of Legends. So in League of Legends, yeah. So when you're in like the like select your champion screen, you can like put your like type in the little chat down at the bottom. Well, I would put like my stream in that, and like I would just bring people in, even if they were like, hey, I'm just following you, I'm here. And like I started to get some people from that, and just started growing. And then I don't know, a year or so in, I discovered Star Citizen, and I had a buddy, he gave me a joystick, and I started playing Star Citizen, really loved it, grew in that community. And then about a year later, buddy was like, you should play Tarkov. You like shooters. Like, you should try Tarkov. And I tried it, and I was like, oh man, this is frustrating. Oh my God, it sucks. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I just died of dehydration. Like, I didn't understand it. And
did you have flashbacks of that Corbin going, nutrition, nutrition, oh God, as you're dying?
I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. Like, I got lost. Like, and so I was like, oh my God, this sucks. But like, then I started to see people come in, and like, I started to see people come in, and they wanted to see this guy that was just like struggling, and I still struggle. And like, they're like, oh, like I just started. And like, I was streaming at night, and I was like, it's just slow.
I don't think the struggle really ever ends for Tarkov players. No, I think they just get better at hiding it.
Yeah, exactly. And so like, it turned in like, I decided, cause like at that time I was like working out in the morning and streaming at night, and I was like, I feel like I could just work out at night and stream in the morning. And so like I started, and like I just started to do it, and I was like, I hope somebody watches. And like over time, it's literally like grown. Like, I only get 3 hours of stream. I start, or just over 3 hours. I started about 4:30 my time, which is 6:30 Eastern time. And so I streamed till about 10 Eastern. And honestly, like, I was surprised. Like, there was like people that were like, hey, you know, I'm listening to you on my way to work. Hey, I'm watching you while I'm at work right now. Like, and it's grown into the morning show. And that's what I do.
Because that's prime time commuting hours.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's perfect. You like, yeah. So you're competing actually with like daytime radio, like those stupid bits for like Howard Stern. Like you were competing with that. So that's, that's super smart actually. Cause like, I don't know too many people who like get up early and compete with that type of time frame. So that's actually pretty unique and smart. Now, was that by design or did that just happen when you're like, this is when I wake up?
It just kind of happened. Like I've just kind of forced myself into waking up. I mean, I wake up at 4 a.m. every day.
Well, such the Navy way, you know, you got to wake up, put on your fucking minion PT gear and do what you got to do when you're in it.
So, I mean, it was just kind of like a thing. Like I started doing it and it, you know, it's some days it's hard, but like, just depending on like how I feel, I just get up and I get my coffee and I just start the stream. And, you know, I've seen actual for the first time since 2017, I've seen real growth. And my one buddy who has stuck around, he was there from like the beginning. I mean, he still remembers when we used to play PUBG and I was on Facebook. Like he's been there. He's like, dude, this is like actual growth for the first time ever. And like, I'm not going to make partner. I'm not going to make partner. You don't make partner streaming 3 hours a day. And like, that's it. Like you, and it just isn't viable. But you know, I'm going to keep doing it. I enjoy the fact that I get to get up and I get to like entertain people and like give them just that little like escape, even if it is for 3 hours. And then I get to support others and stuff like that. Cause I don't like self-promotion, but I do like when I know like that someone has come into my channel and they've stayed around, but I also know that they're a streamer too. I like giving them that support. Like when they hit their milestones, like when people like newer streamers, they'll come in and they'll tell me like, oh, I just got affiliate. I'm like, that's so sick. Like, here's it. Like I give them a shout out and stuff like that.
Right.
And whether they get like one follow or, you know, I like helping people, whether it's me getting the chance to entertain them or it's like me being able to support someone else. Like,
So you've cultivated a place of like, you know, not only helping other people and providing an escape in a way. So it's just like, it's cool how when you get into the streaming, a lot of people have like one thing in mind, like I'm going to do this for this. And then seeing where that goes and what that progresses to.
Yeah.
Now, you said for 3 hours, is that just because of like the type of person you are? That's pretty much the length of time you want to be sitting, because you're probably active. You're probably like, I want to get up and do stuff after 3 hours. Or is that because a certain reason why it's a 3 hour time frame?
That's because I have to log in and go to work. So when I get done at 8 a.m. for me, 8 a.m., I have to log into my computer and I have to be at work. So like, that's all I get my 3 hours. Like I wish, and I've pushed it back to like 4:30 because I would go from 5 to 8 my time, but now I do 4:30 to 8 my time just to like get that. Like I want to give it as much as I can and have it be possible to get like, hopefully get more people in it. Like, and just give people that time to just wake up, get their coffee, and come watch some moron run around on Tarkov and get shot a lot. Like that's what I want to do. Like I have no problem making a fool of myself and just like doing what I love, which is honestly it's streaming. I love to be a streamer. Like it's gotten me out of my shell. Like I used to just be like quiet and like a like in the background individual, but now I'm like, I want to be out there. I want to make friends. I want to see people. I want to make people laugh. Like I want to make relationships with people, even if it's over the freaking internet. I don't give a shit. Like I've made relationships with all these guys that my new really good friends. I actually know they're my best friends, honestly, on Tarkov and everything. The Sons of Sack. And we got to meet me, Bobber, and Cullen got to meet at TwitchCon. And it was like we were already great friends. And so like it really brings people together. Like it, and that's what I've always wanted. I've wanted that platform to bring people together. Like, for example, my Discord, it has my logo on it, yes, so that people know that it's tied to me. But it's not called, like, it's not the Rev Trev stream. I've always advertised my Discord as a place for people to use to grow. Like, if you have an achievement, I want you to share it on my Discord. If you're going live, I have it automatically connected to people. Like, if they have their stream connected to their Discord account, it automatically tells you when they're live. Because I want it to be like, oh, this isn't, like, it's not the Rev Trev's Discord. Like, it's the Rev Trev's community's Discord.
Right.
It's like, a communal, I want it to space. Be a, exactly. I don't ever want it to be like what I've seen before, which I hate. I call them the pyramid schemes. It's this this big time, this streamer who's up and coming or just trying to grow, and he turns it this Discord, and it's a support for support, follow for follow. Like, right. I'll support you.
And those places become echo chambers so fast. Exactly. Like, if you have any view that, like, contradicts that person's, you're gone. And then some of these places ban people, and then people actually pay to get back into it. Like, it's crazy some of the lengths that some of these Discords go. And it's like, who wants to be stuck in an echo chamber? Who wants to be stuck in a circle jerk like that? I'm sure some people do, but me personally, no.
But then you got to look at it. Then look at it. How many times is that big streamer that you're supporting, you're following, like you're giving your subs to, how many times has he been in your stream? I bet it's once. I bet it's once. And I bet, oh God, you felt so freaking special because that big streamer that you've been bringing everybody to his Discord and everything like that, because he promises you you'll grow. I bet he's been in your stream one time. And like, you can't even remember it, really. It's just that once. But you got to be in his stream every day. You got to be in his stream every day because if he grows, you'll grow.
And if you're not there, they're like, where have you been?
You know?
Kind of like that one guy who got, like, kind of blown up for that, like, don't come in here and trauma dump. I don't want to hear about your mom dying, like that guy.
Oh, God.
He, like, confronted this person. He's just like, where you been? And then she, like, told the truth, and then she got shit on.
Yeah, no, that... I saw that and I was like, that is just despicable.
It's a lot
that is just
like despicable. Leadership in the military. It's like you become the leader that you like, you know, you see the things you don't want to be. Like you see people throw people under the bus and then, you know, do the same shit and like cover for each other, you know, things like that. And you're just like, I don't want to be like that. It's like when you're in the Navy, my favorite person ever is that senior chief who's got red stripes, you know, because he went to bat for his people or he did some shit that's human and he like, you know, paid for it.
Yeah. Or that officer that was the enlisted guy before.
Right. Oh, the Mustangs and Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. that guy, he knows what we're going through. Or like shit, the chief or the officer that gets down in there with you. Like when we were cleaning the boats, that chief or that officer, he's in there cleaning up brass.
Getting his hands dirty.
Getting his hands dirty. Like, yeah, he's got other stuff to do, but he's down here with the peasants and helping clean up.
So one of my biggest personal peeves that like still makes me mad to this day is when you would do something dangerous and then somebody in your chain of command would take credit for it. Like, you weren't there. You didn't supervise shit. Like when I was in like so I'm a hospital corpsman or was a hospital corpsman. But my subject was preventive medicine, which is a 6 month long school. And it's very hard. It's like IDC is the independent duty corpsman. And that's like almost like 9 months to a year long school. So I'm like one school below that. Right. And I went to every base in Iraq doing health and comfort inspections. And some of them were like, no, not the safest places. Some of them were pretty damn sketchy. And then I got back and my chief who did nothing, who complained the whole time I was gone, like puts it himself in for a major award. He's like, I supervised all this. Like, bitch, you didn't do any of that.
Right. It's funny. Like when it comes to like NAMs or whatever, like you didn't really get those per se in my job, like unless you actually did something. Now it's funny, like I'm in the reserves, and it's funny, just the other day we had a guy, I don't know what all he did, but he like facilitated like physical fitness and stuff like that, and the funniest part is they're reading off his award and they're like gold star in lieu of seventh award. I was like, seven?
Jesus Christ.
And I was like, what the fuck have you done to get 7 NAMPs? Where's your gold? Where's your Navy achievement? Or whatever the freaking, the higher than the Navy achievement. Where's that at? You got 7 of those? Right. You must have breathed really good. I don't understand. And it's funny, just going from the spec ops
communities where they're this is your job. You don't get awards for just doing your job to that one meme that was going around where somebody got a NAM because they made the best thing at a potluck. I don't know if you saw that a while ago.
Exactly. And you know what? And that going from spec war to regular Navy, that it's literally the thing. Who did the best essay or whatever? Here's a NAM. What? Right.
And then you have Marines who are literally getting shot at and they don't get shit. And you're like, what?
You get a letter of accommodation.
If
if that, and you're just really that okay. It just blew my mind. I'm like 7 NAMs. I have one NAM. And I've been to captain's mass, blah blah blah. I probably haven't done much to earn a NAM, but 7? And you had, and I'm pretty sure he has less time in the Navy than I do. I'm 7. Good. I guess cool, man. I don't know.
This becomes the problem because those are award points. And thing I hate about the Navy in particular is the advancement is almost purely academic. What happens if you're a great leader, but you suck at taking tests?
Yep.
Because it makes you take a fucking Scantron test.
You just need to be good at test taking.
Pretty much. Yep. Pretty much. So to move into a little bit of a funnier thing. So you said you went to Great Lakes in the summer, right?
August. Yep.
I went in November and I had never seen snow, actual snow falling before. Yep. And I made the mistake of stopping in front of a window when we were walking to Chow one day. And my RDC sneaks up behind me. He's like, Rocha, what the fuck are you doing? And I was just like, I didn't even think. I was like, I've never seen snow before, buddy officer. voice cracking and everything. He's just you've never seen snow. And he made up a job called Snow Watch, where I had to wake up every day to go shovel snow.
Shovel snow. That wasn't made up.
And then he would come out and he would smoke a cigarette. And he'd be like, seen enough snow today? Yes.
Oh, man. My funniest story from Great Lakes. So I don't remember what point I was in training, but they brought me to the dentist and they said, you've got wisdom teeth that need to be taken out. Go in that room. And so they took my wisdom teeth out. And then after that, they gave me Vicodin and had me walk back to my barracks all by myself, hopped up on Vicodin right after having teeth pulled. And they didn't put me to sleep. So I got to experience the whole thing. And it was the next day I had just taken some Vicodin and I took it before I went to eat. And I don't know if you've ever taken Vicodin on an empty stomach.
Oh, it's a bad day.
But it'll make you drop like a freaking fly. And I took it. I got my food. And I sat back down at the chow table and I passed out in my chair. And then after I came to, I walked over to my RDC and they were at their table. And I was like, petty officer, I need to go back to the barracks. I just passed out. And he was, and I was pale white, pretty sure my pupils were probably dilated. And he was And so luckily, my RDC was an HM and he was like, go back to the barracks right now. And so I'm walking back to the barracks and this is the best part. I run into a senior chief and I know, this every time you see a chief, you got to say good afternoon, chief, or good afternoon, senior chief. Good afternoon, master chief. I walked past this senior chief and I said, good afternoon, chief. And it was like a car accident. And he said, what the fuck did you just say to me? And I said, good afternoon, chief. And he was like, he grabbed me by my collar and pulled me into the doorway and started screaming at me. Keep in mind, I had just passed out and was on the verge of passing out again. And he is like, don't ever call me chief again. I am a senior chief. And I said, yes, chief. And he said, what the fuck did I just say? And I was like, my apology. And I finally got it. I said, my apology, senior chief. I just passed out in the chow hall. And he was like, I don't give a shit. You don't ever call me. You don't ever just call a senior chief chief ever again. I earned this rank. You call me a senior chief. And then me, half out of it, just like, yes, senior chief. And I just like stumbled my way back to the barracks and like passed out in my bed. And I was just like, that sucked.
Right.
So that was my biggest memory from being in Marine Navy boot camp. Was they gave me Vicodin and I got yelled at by a senior chief for calling him chief in his face.
You had a fine Navy day, is what you're saying.
Oh, I had a fine Navy day.
So I have one last boot camp story because, like, I don't like this is the probably one of the craziest stories even throughout my entire military career. I had one of the guys I was going through boot camp with got arrested in boot camp for murder.
Wow.
Yeah, it was gnarly. So what happened was he committed a murder before he joined. I think he joined to run away. And they found his fingerprints on the murder weapon, and then they ran it through the system, and they were like, oh, this guy, you know, because when you join the military, you have to put in your fingerprints and all that shit into the system. So they ran all that shit. They looked, and they found it. And then he disappeared, like, halfway through boot camp. And we're like, where's DeVia? Where's DeVia? Like, because his name was Michael DeVia. And we're all like, where'd he go? Because he was like – it was weird. He was like the funniest dude. He was like, he was chill. He was mellow. Like, you never would have guessed it by looking at him or talking to him.
Yeah.
And just one day he disappeared. And like RDCs were like going through his fucking little gear locker in his bunk. And we're like, in his rack. We're like, what the fuck is, like, where'd he go? And they're like, oh, he popped on a drug test. And we're like 2 months deep. There's no fucking way he popped on a drug test. He'd be gone already. And then we got to Texas for A school for Navy Corpsmen. It's in San Antonio. And he was a Texas boy. And we remember seeing his face on fucking newspapers, like in those little fucking things, saying local boy arrested for murder. Like, what the fuck?
Murder it. Oh, wow.
And the gnarliest thing was, like, this was he murdered a woman who was pregnant with his kid.
Oh,
and the weirdest thing is he would always tell us, like, because, you know, you talk to people in boot camp, you get to know their backgrounds. And we'd be like, oh, you got anybody waiting for you? And he'd be like, yeah, I have a girl and a kid. He'd always say that.
Yeah, they're
and
waiting.
Then, like, after that became real creepy, real fast, real fucking crazy. Yeah. So, you know, changing gears from that horrible topic to a more fun topic. So being somebody who went from the spec ops community to then being a gunner's mate, which deals with guns, surprisingly, do you look at guns in video games and be like, oh, another fucking gun? I'm so sick of looking at guns.
Honestly, I mean, out here in Arizona, I enjoy going in. Shooting, me and my buddy, we go shooting as often as possible. Like, we're members of a range and everything like that. I do enjoy shooting, but I'm not one of those, like, I have 10,000 guns. Like, I have a couple pistols and a rifle. That's all I have. Like, I'm not like, oh, I really want to blow my money on all these guns. Like, I'm just like,
you're not the gun content guy. You're not the next Brandon Herrera or Grand Thumb. You're not trying to be all that.
No, I enjoy shooting. Like, if I had like an arsenal of machine guns, I'm sure I would really love shooting that and as much ammo as I wanted. That'd be great because, like, that was what I got to shoot on a regular basis. So that was always fun. But now I'm just like, I mean, just like small arms. I'm just like, oh yeah, small arms, like, cool.
Right. So. Right. It's probably very fun to just, like, you know, go to a range and shoot and not being like, all right, guys, let's do a FOB walk down. Let's pick up all this fucking shit.
Do the FOB walk down or you do something stupid and you're running a mile. Like, for example, like they had this gong and it was like probably about half a mile away. And if you fucked up, you had to run and bang the gong. And so, like, going to the range now versus going to the range then had a totally different meaning, because it was like, you do something dumb, you're hitting the gong. And
that almost seems like a little kid game show thing, like on fucking Double Dare, like get the gong and run back.
If you think that, but you're fully geared up at the range wearing body armor because you're shooting steel that day, and oh man, it just sucks.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, it was definitely a lot of fun, because like when we got to do like the small arms training, like the guys we were learning from, they were like experts and stuff, and like getting to like just train with them and just like learn like all these different things on how to like correct your shot and stuff, and just like seeing that improvement, that was like the best part of that. And so now like bringing it into like the civilian world, like when I like we go shooting and like I get like, it's just fun getting to like help my buddy out, like improve his shot, or like be like, oh, you're slapping your trigger, like that's why you're dragging to the right here and everything like that. Like, and he's just like, I had no idea. He's like, I had no idea. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's something you gotta
just
get comfortable
love
with.
Helping people. You seem like you're like, you like to be an instructor kind of thing. And you also like to promote your people, whether that be in the military or whether that be the people who come by and join your community via Discord or through the morning show. So is being a recruiter, do you think that's part of why you want to kind of do that? Is because you get to help people pretty much find a career path. Like, I know my recruiter personally, he was just kind of like, this is what's available. Didn't really give a shit. Like, but there are those recruiters that actually do. And I'm sure, like, I'm not sure what your recruiting situation was when you went through it as a young kid and you signed your life away. But I'm sure you're going to take that experience and, like, turn that into, like, the experience that you wanted. Not so much the high pressure, like, you know, situation where you're trying to, like, buy a car. Because that's kind of how they make it feel.
So, I mean, so I'm also, so speaking of, like, helping people and stuff, I also coach Olympic weightlifting. So I do that on the side sometimes, too. So I do enjoy coaching. I've always enjoyed like helping people. Like when I was out in California, I got really involved in the gym out there, and like the gym owner was like one of my good friends, and like he still to this day texts me and he's like, man, I wish you were still out here because I need your help. And because I'd be there drop of the hat to help him and everything like that. But as far as like recruiting, like shoot, when I was going in, I already knew I wanted to be a spec war, or I wanted to be a SWIC. And so I walked in the office and I was like, I want to be a SWIC. And I had a recruiter and he wasn't bad. It was just, he didn't have the knowledge of the spec war community, but luckily he had enough knowledge to bring me to a spec war mentor. And I had a spec war mentor who was like, he was this old crusty SEAL. He knew about the pipeline and everything. And it's funny, like I remember when I was going through, I don't even know if they do this anymore. So in boot camp, like at the beginning, they had this thing, it was called the moment of truth.
Oh, and, yeah. They still got that shit.
Yeah. I'm surprised, but he was like, all right, listen, going to go to boot camp, just do whatever they say, it's a bunch of bullshit anyways, it doesn't matter, you're there to be a fucking SWIC and you freaking own that shit and you just do it. He's like, but here's where you're going to get derailed. You're going to go to a room, everybody's going to be in there, and some asshole's going to step up front and he's going to go, all right, who lied on their medical screening and what did we not find? Don't worry, you're not going to get in trouble. He said, if you stand up, you are done right there. He said, you are done. Cause that they're gonna know. He's like, I don't care if you lied to them. If they don't have it by then, they don't have it.
And to be like, real, who didn't fucking lie on that?
Oh yeah, exactly. And he was like, don't you dare stand up. He said, you sit there and you just listen. And I was sitting there in that room that day, and I was like, and like people started standing up, and I was like, these idiots. But yeah, so like I was lucky I had that kind of recruiter, which and he, you know, he brought me to that mentor, and like I was taking the physical test like every week. Like I don't even think I was there for most of my senior year of high school. Like I was at the recruiting thing taking a PST. Like I passed it on the second one and I was like, all right, I'm good. And like I got my contract, but I still just kept taking them because I was like, I just want to see how good I can get.
Right.
And so I did that. But as far as like me, like how much I like helping people, yes, I do think that that has a reason. That is a reason as to why I got into recruiting in the first place and everything like that. Like I never knew, but like it's funny because like when going through like training and stuff for being a recruiter, like they want you to do like some, like I've heard of just some shady stuff that like in recruiting, like, oh, they offer you this and it's like a bait and switch. And I'm like, I never wanted to do that. Like I tell every single person that I work with, I tell them what you're getting with me is you're getting honesty. You're getting like the full information up front. I'm not going to hold anything back from you. I'm going to tell you straight up what it is, how it is, and you know, what's going to happen. And you know, what I've noticed is a lot of people, like they appreciate that. And I mean, a lot of things in like recruiting, it's out of my hands because like I can only do so much.
Right. Like, you can't take their ASVAB for them. You can't, yeah, exactly. You know.
And so like, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, if you do something, I can only do so much. Like I can only do so much. I can only give you this. Like it's my hands are tied, and like, I tell them that.
But the stuff that is in your control, you're going to do it
exactly
right, the way that you know it should be done. Cause I can't tell you how many people in the military joined because they were told, be like, oh yeah, if you want to be spec ops, just sign this contract to be a fucking, you know, electrician's mate or a fucking, you know, insert random rate here, and then you can just randomly go into that later, or you know, you'll just tell them at boot camp and they'll do that for you. And it's just like it's utter bullshit, because like recruiting unfortunately is a number based game, and a lot of recruiters are trying to hit that number to look good on an eval so they can make rank, so they can avoid things like higher tenure, which is utter bullshit.
Yep.
But it's a thing, unfortunately. So being somebody who likes to teach, do you take a teaching role when you stream? Like, because Tarkov, as we've gone over, is kind of a putting your balls in a cabinet and slamming that cabinet. Like, do you teach people extracts? Do you teach people certain things? Like, this is my way of fighting the goons. Like, do you take that teaching approach when you're playing, or is it strictly in a person setting, like with recruiting?
Honestly, yeah. Like, I do not consider myself, like in the Tarkov community, I don't consider myself a Sherpa. I do have people occasionally come in and be like, hey, I'm new. What can I, like, how can I get better? And I, you know, I'll give them my little 2 cents because I'm, you know, rather new. I've only done like a couple wipes now, and like, I'll give them my 2 cents. Like, hey, you need to learn your maps. You need to learn like how to heal, like what heals what, like you need to like practice fighting things, like go to offline raids if you have the time. Like, I will do my best, but at the end of the day, it just becomes a don't do what I do and just like watch and entertain. Like when it comes to streaming, I'm more there trying to make people laugh at my pain. So like I'm there, like people, like I'm just your average Tarkov streamer just trying to learn his way into the game and figure things out. And like, I've done pretty good in the game this go round. Like, I'm impressed with myself, but like, as far as like teaching, I don't really teach. I'm more of like, this is not what you're supposed to do. Like, this is like, what I'm about to do is really stupid. And like, I'm just doing it cause fuck it. Like, I don't care.
Right.
Like, it's just the game. Like, who cares? Like, I'm just doing it. Like, and honestly, at that point, it's like, all right, that didn't work out. And then you learn from that. So, but when it comes to like recruiting and, like coaching too, like that's why, like, I really try my best to like help someone. Like, I try to, you know, if I can help, I do my best. Like, I give them, as much information as I can without, you know, overwhelming them, but also like, I'm trying to teach you, like I'm trying to educate you. Like, I want you to understand this. And even in recruiting, like, yeah, like, oh, you're just trying to like, you want them to, you want them to accept the job, but you want them to have all the information.
Right.
Like, you don't want them to be like, wait, you never told me this. Like, right. And honestly, like, I've had mistakes before where, like, I didn't tell them something and they're like, why didn't you tell me this? And I'm like, well, I'm sorry. At the time, that information wasn't available. And now we're learning about this, like, as one here, like, I apologize that it happened that way, but, like, I would not make something up to you. I wouldn't, like, hold anything back from you. I want you to have all the information so you succeed.
Right. You're only human. Like, you can only know so much, exactly. You know?
And that, you know, same thing with, like, streaming. Like, I do my damnedest at 4:30 in the morning to not get frustrated at something or not to bring, like, outside emotion into the stream. But it's happened. And, you know, like, and I take to my Discord and I'm like, hey, listen, I'm sorry. Today, the vibe sucked. Like, I was a piece of shit. Like, I wasn't who I want to be. And, you know, now I've just kind of, like, I've come down to it. And, like, I'm like, hey, look, guys, I'm human too. Okay. I'll bring it back. I apologize for today. Like, I just want you guys to understand, like, the morning show's about having good vibes, everybody coming in, having a good experience in the morning, whether your morning is shitty, whether you're at work, whether you're sitting on the toilet, I don't give a shit. I want you to have a good time. Like,
that's the end result. That's the goal.
Yeah. I mean, I get up in my chair and my 6'4" ass does something of a twerk just for people's enjoyment. And I consider myself number one for it. And honestly, people know it. Like,
I mean, how many other streams are you going to find that? And then killing people stone face. Yeah.
Like, exactly. And like, people are like, they're like, I don't understand. Like, I don't like, and it just, it's drawn people in. Like, it's gotten my name out in the community. And I'm like, yeah, it's embarrassing, but I don't give a shit. Like, it's, if that's a way I can entertain someone and make someone absolutely roll on the floor laughing or like disturb them into laughter, like, screw it. I'm all for it. Like, I'm not doing anything to hurt somebody. I'm not doing something that's like offensive or something.
And it makes people's days. Exactly. Like, you know? See,
like, people are like, oh my God, that's the funniest thing I've seen. Like, they're like, oh my God, that's the funniest thing. Like, I've never, like, you just became like my favorite streamer. And like, I'm like, just keep coming back. It happens. Like, it just, like, who knows what's going to happen here.
And you never know what people are going through too. Mm-hmm. Like, people could be not in a good spot mentally. And like, if you can make somebody smile and take them away from that for just a moment, then
my goal.
It's worth it. Like, what was it? Like, a few moments of, like, you know, internet embarrassment. Oh no. Like, just for the possibility of making somebody's day, totally worth it. 100%
totally worth it. Like, that's the reason I, like, even if I get my 3 hours, I do my best to make it as the happiest 3 hours of someone's morning to hopefully brighten their day.
Right.
Like, if, I don't know what, like, whatever you're going through, you can come to the morning show in the morning and I'm going to give you the best that I can. Like,
that's
you're going to
3 hours where that shit doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're like, whatever you're going through, you just let it go. Like, if you want to tell me about it, cool. If you don't and you just want to sit there and listen, cool. I have no problem with that. I'm going to be here. And like, that's that. I always love it. Like, people are like they'll message me, hey man, I missed your stream today. Sorry, got some stuff going on. I was like, hey man.
Right.
I don't. That's okay.
You don't make them feel bad about that. Like, we went over. You're just happy that like they choose to, because like, there's so many other things people can do. There's a lot of other streamers. There's a lot of other radio shows. There's a lot of things that people can do. So when someone chooses to engage in that space and be part of something that you're creating, like, that has to be humbling. Like, how many times do you just sit back and you're like, holy shit, like, these people chose to be here and they are, you know, they're allowing me to be part of their life.
Yep. And, you know, I'm not a streamer that looks at the viewer count. I look at the viewer count at the end of the stream when I'm rating someone, because I don't care if I have one viewer. I don't care if I have 10 viewers. I'm going to raid out. Like, that's when I get to see my viewer count. And I mean, I don't see it during the stream. And that's because I don't want that to define what happens in the stream. Like, I
you also don't want it to affect your like your mood or what you're gonna do.
Because
I know some people were like, I was gonna do this, but there's only 10 people in thing. They're like, but that's not organic. You're like, if you were gonna do that, just fucking send it.
No, I want like I want people to see like me. Like I want me, not 100 viewers the Rev Trev or one viewer the Rev Trev. I don't want that to be different. I want if one person comes in off the street, brand new, never been to the stream before, I want them to get the same experience they would get of one viewer versus 100 viewers. I don't care. Like, I do the exact same thing.
Filtered Colombian Rev Trev.
Yep.
Directly into the bloodstream is what you're
directly in. Yep.
Directly in. Mainline.
And you know, and that has done me well over all this time and everything. And, you know, I like, I'll look at my after the after stream report or whatever. And, you know, I'm like, and if it's good, like I'll share it out with like on Twitter and stuff like, hey, I really appreciate all the support. Like, keep coming back. And you know what? I've seen it happen. People have came back and everybody's still enjoying the show. And so that's what I'm hoping to continue on. Like, I'm just like I was talking, to some buddies and I was like, man, I really hope with this new me going back into the Navy thing, I really hope that I can still get up at 4:30 in the morning and stream before I go. Like, I, even if it's like, even if I'm a little tired, cause I'm not going to be like working from home, like I'm going to be out there, but I'm like, I just really hope because like people like want the morning show. Like, I've seen it. Like, people are like, this, it's gotta, you gotta keep doing it. Like, there, like, I don't have my morning without the morning show. And that feels good.
You've become people's coffee. You've become people's cigarette.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's what I want. Like, I want to be the morning show guy. I am the morning show guy. I want, if you want to watch Tarkov in the morning or you want to listen to some absolutely horrendous communications between me and my teammates, or if you want to watch me twerk my ass because somebody raided me or somebody did the bit donation for it, I want to be that person for you in the morning. And that, and it's what it's become. And that's like, that's a great feeling. And like, I don't want to give it up, but at the same time, like, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm just,
life has a way of shuffling our decks, so to speak. And it's how we adjust. But that's something that you've learned from the Spec Off community is how to play with wild cards, because things go great when you're in the operational planning room. And then once you're actually like, you know, out there, things happen and you have to adjust accordingly.
Happen. Yep.
Which is something that applies to everyday life and Tarkov. And with your mindset of not letting yourself fail, I'm sure you'll find a way to make it work.
Oh yeah, 100%. And that, you know, when I was going through, because like I had to interview for like this recruiter job, because it's like a special job, I guess.
Right.
For recruiting, like you, it's like you have to, they have to see it from you, I guess. And you know, I went into the interview and I was like, they're like, well, what do you like? Have you ever been like a recruiter before? And I was like, I've never been a military recruiter, but I was like, I have a year and a half of military professional recruiting experience where I've never been a recruiter before. And within 6 months of being a recruiter, like I was the employee of the month. Like all I need from y'all is I need you to give me the tools for me to succeed, to teach me what I need to know. And I'm going to go out and I'm not going to let you down because I understand how to do it. And if you give me the proper training, which is, you know, the same thing I got, is I am going to go in and I'm going to do my best. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to grow. And I'm not going to give up. Like, I'm not just going to be like, oh, well, this is hard. Like, oh, I'm just going to give up. No, I'm not. Like, I'm going to find a different avenue of approach. Like,
now, are they going to re-rate to an NC? Are they going to make you become a Navy counselor? Or are they going to let you do that as a gunner's mate?
So I'm going to start out as a gunner's mate. And then, so basically what's happening is I'm reserves. And so I'm going to go on active duty orders. And these are like 3-year orders. And so basically I'll be active duty. And at the end of the three years, I can either go back to the reserves and just continue doing the reserves. And then like, because of like some law, I can just go back to my employee after 3 years. But
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And but or I can cross rate to a NCR, which is a Navy counselor recruiter. And so that is my intention. I'm going to I'll stay a gunner's mate for this. It's called CANREC. It's a canvasser recruiter.
Yeah.
So I'll be on these orders for that, and I'll be active duty technically. So I'll be making everything active duty. Like everything will be active duty. I just will still be like, I don't understand it.
You'll be operating in a recruitment station,
yeah,
driving up to MEPS, you know, getting people their ASVAB, sending people.
I won't be doing that. I won't be active duty recruiting. So I won't be dealing with high schoolers. So I'm actually, from what I was told by the person who's like in charge of it all, is I'll be doing reserve recruiting. So I'll be doing prior service.
So people who already been there, done that, which is a little easier because like if they are showing interest, they know what they're getting into because, you know, they've done it.
And so all like I've got like my biggest thing is like helping them understand like why the reserves is like worth it. Like how you get to finish your time, how you can
You'll be able to relate to them too, because that you're coming from that world.
Yeah, and that's why they put me in that instead of active duty. I mean, that's not saying I won't be in active duty recruiting one day, but right now the way they have me starting out is reserve recruiting. So I'll be
it's
doing.
It's
going
to be
that.
So much easier to relate to them than high school kids. You'd be like, "Hey, no cap, the Navy's great.
This just Gucci. This is Gucci, fam." Like I'm like, oh god. And it's funny, like people are like, oh, you're going to be dealing with a bunch of snotty nosed high school kids. And I was like, nope, not going to do that. But even if I was it's the same thing. Like, I'm just going to go in and do my best to be recruiter/mentor. Like, right. I want people to go in with like as much information as possible so that they're not like, they don't get there and they give me a phone call like, dude, what is this?
When they get to boot camp and the recruiter says, thank your recruiter, you know, when you get to your RDC says, thank your recruiter, when you get to boot camp, it's not going to apply to them. They're not going to be that guy who got fucked. Mm-hmm. Well, that's
like, I want to be like, and the same thing I said in my interview when I was becoming a travel nurse recruiter is I want to mentor people. I want that to be how I'm a recruiter. I want to make them the best sailor or nurse that they can be going into this position or whatever they're going into. Like, I'm not going to be just some salesman. I'm going to be like an honest coach in a sense.
Totally. So changing gears a little bit, when you went to TwitchCon and you met the other sons of SAC, your brothers of SAC, if you will, and you saw them for the first time, Were you hit with like, wow, you're a lot taller than I thought, or you're a lot shorter than I thought, or you don't look anything like your camera self? Did any of that hit?
Oh yes, so it was hilarious. So Bobber Down, he's one of my good friends now. I'd only ever seen him on his channel and whatnot, and I got to TwitchCon, and we were over by the Tarkov booth, and I found him, and he was walking up to me, and I was like, and he, like, so to me, for me, I'm 6'4". Everyone's short to me, really. Right. Or most people are short to me. I saw him, and he was really short. And I was like, whoa, he is much shorter. And I was like, I've never seen you off camera. Like, I've never seen you not on stream. Like, I had no idea you were this short. And he was like, yeah. I was like, I'm this short. It was, like, so fun, like. And then I met Bobber and I met Cullen. Those are the only two, Ceramus and plain old Paul. They didn't get to come to TwitchCon, but hopefully actually we're going to be all meeting up in San Diego for this next TwitchCon. So hopefully we can do like a full Sons of SAC dinner and everything like that. That's what we're hoping
for. A full SAC reunion.
Yep. And, and then I met Cullen, and Cullen's actually, he's actually a lot taller, than I thought he was. So it was funny. There's a picture of us, and Bobber's in the middle, and he's just like this short little dude. And then you got us two. We're both tall next to him. So it was just a funny picture. Because awesome. When I went to TwitchCon, I only went one day. I, me being me, I wore short shorts and a RevTrev t-shirt because I was like, this is how people are, like, know me. Because, like, when, like, especially during the hotter month, not right now, but during, like, the hotter months, I'm in, like, short shorts. And that's, like, what people see when I get up and do my chair twerk. And so I was like, that's what I'm going to wear. So I wore that to Vegas.
They're iconic.
And so that's
like
they
seeing
were like,
Steve Irwin in, like, slacks. You're like, what the fuck, Steve? You don't wear these.
And so, like, that was the picture. It was me, Bobber, and Cullen. We were just, like, super short, or he was super short, Cullen, on the other side, and it was just like he was sandwiched. So yeah, we definitely, it was definitely like, oh, okay, all right, so these people don't all look like how they do on camera. So that was definitely funny. And like I really enjoyed that aspect because it was funny because, like, yeah, you see them on Twitch and, you know, it's one thing, but then to, like, see all these people in, like, real life, like, shit, I walked right up to Landmark. I don't know if you know who Landmark is.
I think don't know him personally, but I know of him. Like, if you gave me a lineup, I'd be like, that's the motherfucker right there. That's Landmark.
So he, we were all over at the Tarkov booth because they had the Tarkov Arena booth at TwitchCon. And he walked up behind everyone and he was just like standing there watching everybody just like everybody else. And I was like, look at this motherfucker. He's just like a regular ass human, but dude, like, dude's like huge, like he's built and everything. And I walk up to him and I shook his hand and I was like, hey man, did you hit the gym today? And he's just like laughing. He's like, nah, I didn't hit. He's like, I got up at like 3 o'clock to fly out here. And I was like, oh man, no excuses. And it was just like, it just like on at TwitchCon, everybody was just like, you know, they weren't. You weren't partner. You weren't affiliate. Like, yeah, your name tag said one thing or the other. But, like, if I wanted to walk up to one of these guys, like, I doubt you could walk up to Tim the Tatman that way. But, like, all these guys, like, in the Tarkov community, like, the bigger streamers, as you call them, like, they're just people. Like, I just, like, Jesse Kazan was there. He was just standing out in the audience with me. I was like, hey, man, I've got a buddy that would be super jealous if I took a picture with you right now. Would you be cool with that? And he was like, absolutely, dude. And so we took a selfie and I was just like chatting with him. Like, it was just like, you know, that's one thing that streaming has done for me is like, it's made, like, even if I'm not talking to a regular, like a person in person, like it's made it more comfortable for me to just like chit chat with somebody.
Right.
To just like
that
get out of my show.
Social relationship carries over. But that, like, it's peeled away because, like, some of these people are larger than life. And then when you, like, meet them, you're like, oh, my God, you're short as fuck and you're a human.
Like, yeah, you know? Exactly. Like, you're real.
But yeah, so. It's I bet that's crazy. So we'll call it being starstruck. Out of all the people you met there, who would you say, like, was the most, like, starstruck? Like, oh, my God. Like,
of the people I actually, like, met –
or like saw walking, like, oh my God, Amaran stepped on that guy. Fuck yeah. Like, what was like the biggest like one that you saw that you were like, oh wow.
Oh gosh. Honestly, like I had three that I was just like really excited that I met all three of them. So one of them, so first off, was Landmark. That was really cool to me. Cause like, I mean, he's huge. Like he's a massive streamer. Like he holds a massive audience. So just getting to meet him, that was super cool. I got to meet Willers. It was just like a brief, like, hey, how you doing? Shake his hand. And I took a picture with him. That was really cool. And then one of the best people I got to meet was my buddy, Krayson. So he's a streamer. He's been streaming Tarkov for a really long time. I've been in his chat over and over again. He made me a mod of his channel and everything. And then like, actually like we weren't even like, it wasn't even like, oh, we were going to meet at TwitchCon because he wasn't even going to go, but found out he was there and actually getting to meet him in person was probably like one of the best parts of going to TwitchCon was just meeting that person that like I'm like always in his channel and stuff when he's streaming and everything. And he's just become a really good friend of mine. And like, he's, you know, we have common interests and everything. And like, it's funny, like we actually went to where he lives for a weightlifting competition for my wife and we got to meet him for lunch there too. So
hell yeah.
Like, I know, like, I didn't meet like the massive streamers. I met the Tarkov community. That was really right. It because I don't really know other streamers, but
That's a circle that you preside in, so it'd be like it makes complete sense that you're not like, oh my god, the biggest Fortnite guy ever. You're like, this is where I dwell, because that's probably the content that you consume too, is in the Tarkov space.
Yep. And so like getting to meet that those three were definitely the highlights. And of course, you know, like I said, the meeting the Sons of Sack, of course, that was definitely a highlight. But like as far as like starstruck, the people like I look up to and got to meet, it was definitely like those guys. And I mean, I met a lot of the bigger streamers, but like the highlights were like those guys. Cause I mean, like Willers and Landmark, I mean, they hold huge audiences all the time and stuff, but then getting to meet like also one of my like mentors, or I guess mentor, and like, just like an all around good dude and like really supportive and everything like that. And, just super nice, like just getting to meet Krayson. That was definitely a highlight of TwitchCon for sure.
So I think it's time for the spicy question. So being somebody who teaches Olympic lifting, where form is a big part of it, what is your view on CrossFit?
So CrossFit, I mean, here's my view. If you want to work out really fast, go right ahead. But do not come complain to me when you get hurt.
Right.
So people that just do CrossFit for fun, more power to them. Like, I'm not doing it. I used to do it. I did it before when I was, you know, in training and stuff, because like I felt like it would help me, because like if I can move this weight fast enough, like they're not going to beat me. So like that was what I did to stay in shape and stuff while I was still in spec war and stuff. But after being in it for a while, I decided I'd actually just rather be strong than fast.
And not like, you know, beat Uncle Rabdo, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So like CrossFit, I'm just like, I mean, my wife teaches CrossFit. That's her job. She coaches CrossFit and everything, but she's an Olympic weightlifter. She doesn't do, I mean, she does CrossFit for like fun.
But she focuses on form when she probably does do it.
Exactly. So
you
like
only get one set of backs and hips and legs, you know, you don't fuck those up.
Yeah, exactly. And I already did.
You can help it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're in the Navy. That's a guarantee that you're gonna fuck your back up, and you're gonna have an unhealthy addiction and relationship to caffeine.
Caffeine, and like I literally like between having to wear body armor all the time and being like on the boats and stuff all the time, like my back and my hips are just like tight, and so in turn, I also get knee problems out of that. So,
gambit. Oh yeah, isn't that great?
Oh, and, man. Currently, I'm nursing. I don't even know what I did to my neck, but I'm apparently nursing some kind of neck thing. And I guess I'm getting older, from what my wife tells me.
Isn't that the fun of getting older? You wake up with pains. You're like, is this forever, or is this just for like today? Like,
yeah, because you just don't know. So I'm like, I don't know how long this is gonna last, but I really hope it goes away. But then I'm like, I'm also not 20 years old anymore, and like it doesn't just go away the next day.
Unfortunately not.
Yeah.
So we're getting close to our time constraints. So I have my only real set question, because everything else has been winged from the hip. If you could hang out with any Tarkov trader or boss, who would it be? And if you could beat the fuck out of any Tarkov trader or boss, who would it be?
Oh, man. If I could hang out with any boss, I'd hope to hang out with the goons, because those guys seem like super cool. And, like, they're freaking badass.
And they're 100% smoking pot. Big Pipe's got that fucking pipe, and Bird Eye's got the drug rug on. It's just something's going on there, guys.
Yeah, they're all ex-guys, but they're all hopped up on drugs and tactical gear. And, but if I could beat up a boss, shoot, I'd beat up Killa's ass.
I'm for it. Fuck him.
Killa's a jerk. He was a real bitch this wipe to get for some reason.
They like to take turns on who's the biggest asshole every single wipe.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And same question before the traitors.
Oh, the traitors. Oh, God. Who gives the worst task? Oh, gosh. I want to say Prapper. No. Yeah, no, Prapper. Yeah, because Punisher.
Is that to hang out or beat up?
To beat up. I'd hang out with Peacekeeper. Peacekeeper's a bro. I can tell he's a bro.
Well, I mean, he seems like he would be like somewhat normal. Like Mechanic, if you read the shit Mechanic says, he's very like philosophical and like out there. Yeah. Like, what the fuck are you on, Mechanic?
Yeah, and then Skier, he'd probably sell you for like a chocolate bar.
And Vince, I feel like Ragman would just be judging my drip the whole time. Be like,
oh yeah, Ragman's like looking at your shoes, like, really? That's what you decided on today.
He's okay. Like, at knees, what are we in high school? Be like, fuck you, Ragman. They're comfortable.
Yeah, right. Like, okay, dude. But yeah, no, I definitely would kick Prapper's ass because he just like I hate like in Tarkov, I hate the gear restricting task, and he gives you all these like different gear restricting tasks, and that's
wear the worst shit and do the craziest nonsense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well,
I lost
okay,
my
and then,
hair, and I'm making up for it with shit.
Yeah. Well, I say that, and then I think back at Peacekeeper's peacekeeping mission, where you have to wear blue armor and carry an M4 around.
He's like, I need you to cosplay as a UN man.
Yeah, you're running around the woods in completely blue gear, and there's some dude with like the best stuff on, and he's just laying waste to you, and you're like, well, that's another M4 gone down the drain, and armor that is useless. So
right.
But yeah.
And another Snorline task. Thanks, Peacekeeper.
Oh my God.
You crusty fuck.
Snorline, dude. Worst map. Not the worst map. With this new update, it's definitely it's a little bit better, but it is just such a big map. Like there's so much dead space.
Though it's just like, hey, you know that shit you just marked? Go do it again.
Go do it again. And you've got to survive. You have to survive.
Oh, you know the resort? Go to the room that was next door to the one you were just at.
Yeah.
Like, you piece of shit. Why did I do that?
I know, you were just there, but I need you to go back.
Touch these three bodies in one raid.
In one raid. You got to do it in one raid. And, like, and oh, by the way, each one is 3 miles away.
Yeah. And one of them is a one-way in and out.
Yeah.
And everyone knows it.
And everybody's waiting on you.
It's like, why don't you just tell me to go fuck myself? Why don't you just make that the task? Go in the hideout and fuck yourself.
Yep, exactly. or you've got to go to labs because you can only get certain items from labs. And I hate
that
labs.
Should be a task. Get killed X amount of times by someone who will get banned in a week.
Oh my gosh, dude. The whole new wipe and stuff, the being able to look at the profile thing. It's a blessing and a curse at the same time, because you're like, you go to a person's profile, like, I think that guy was cheating, and then you start reading his stats, and you're like, wow, he is.
And then it starts to fuck with your head a little bit, and you're like, maybe the Wiggle Man was right, you know, the guy who made the Wiggle video.
We talked about that last night. I love that. It's so funny. Like, hey, guys, I just want you guys to know that I cheated to prove that there were cheaters in Tarkov, and I was like, okay. Hey guys, I went to the most dangerous city in America and committed a crime to prove that there's crime in this city. Like, thanks. You added to the problem,
right?
To prove
you
a
gave
point.
Money and funding.
Yeah. Like, oh, geez, thanks, dude. We didn't know there was that many. But everybody's like, well, he really kind of like, he like really made like it known and stuff.
No, he showed you exactly how cheats work. So it's like, he's somebody who is on the fence who's just going, I want to do that. Like, now they know how. It's bad enough they have fucking advertisements on YouTube when you're watching like Aqua or anyone. It's just like,
Boost.
Yeah, it's like, well, fuck this. Like, why is this allowed by YouTube?
Yeah.
You think YouTube would be like, this is sketchy. We're not going to do this. But yeah, I guess money talks, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I bet they make plenty of it.
Oh, I'm sure they're making a lot, which is. You know, it's crazy because, like, I've heard, like, I've never looked it up, but I've heard people say that these things cost hundreds of dollars.
100%.
It's just like, what grown ass man is going to spend hundreds of dollars like I have heard that, you know, these boosting things, you can like do it and you can make money, and some people in like third world countries are doing it to support their family or whatever, but it just seems like a lot of money for to cheat at a video game, you know?
Yeah.
Like to me that seems silly and stupid, but I guess if you get your ass kicked on Tarkov all the time and you want to like feel like the big swinging dick, I guess maybe that's the route to go for some people.
I can't even understand. Like I'll have a shit day on Tarkov and I'm never just like, well, maybe if I cheated, this would be better.
But like, the shit then I'm days like, make the good days so much better. Like how many times you get your ass absolutely fucking railed and then you pull a LEDX and you kill everybody and you're like, this was the greatest day ever. Those low lows make the highs high, you know?
Yeah. And like, and you're just like, oh man, that felt so good. Yeah. Heck yeah. But it's like, do they even get fulfilled from it? Like, oh, I just wiped the lobby and my eyes were closed the entire time.
Maybe their like first raid was like the best raid ever, and it's like drugs. They're trying to like, you know, maintain that high. They're trying to, they're chasing that dragon of the perfect like, raid they had.
I just like, I don't understand it. And then like, oh, 2 days later they're banned and there goes that money.
Yeah, then like, you gotta there goes a that whole money. Other account because I don't know why they don't do hardwire bans, but like, yeah, this IP address banned.
Well, I think they're going to start doing that, hopefully.
Like, that would be so nice.
And then I know, I don't know if you've seen that new game, Gray Zone.
I'm aware of Gray Zone. I'm tracking.
They are apparently going to have like that kind of ban system, like where it you can't even make a new account. Like it doesn't matter. You ain't making a new account. They're going to find everything and you're not going to be back on the game if they catch you cheating.
Good.
Yeah,
good. I wish more games did that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, when you're charging like $35 for a base subscription and then when someone gets banned and they're giving you another $35, I'm not saying that they're keeping it the way they're keeping it because they're profiting off of it. I'm just saying that they're not being hurt financially by catching cheaters.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And that, you know, at the end of the day, like you said, money talks and that's the problem.
Unfortunately, and also unfortunately, we're getting close to our time constraints. Yep. So now, Rev Trev, is your time to say whatever it is you would like to say, whether it is to thank somebody in your community, mod, promote something like a charity event. Now is your time to say your piece. The floor is yours, Rev.
Honestly, I don't have much to say. Like when I do want to thank my entire community. It's growing. We're getting there. The morning show is still the place to be in the morning for now, and I'm hoping to continue doing that. And I do hope to see more people come into the morning show from Monday to Friday. And on Wednesdays and Fridays, we stream at night, but it's Monday to Friday, 4:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time to 8 a.m. And that's 6:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then at night, 6 p.m. to who knows when, usually, Mountain Standard Time. And Friday, we do Sack Attack. But, yeah, it's been awesome. I hope to continue on being the morning show guy for everybody. And, yeah, thanks, everybody. And I appreciate it.
Yeah. So we're going to have the links in the description of the episode for Rev Trev. So if you want to join the Discord, if you want to go over to his, like, you know, stream, check it out, maybe join the morning show. All the links will be in the description. Other than that, I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you, Rev Trev, for taking the time out of your Super Bowl weekend to come up on here and talk to a complete fucking stranger because we've had really no contact up until this point.
Hey, that's okay. I just appreciate the invite. It means the world to me.
Right. It's definitely, it's always good to get to know people in these one-on-one settings. And yeah, I'm going to, if I can wake up early enough, maybe I'll make my way to the morning show chat, but Come on through.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Come on through. Like I tell people, it'll be there Monday to Friday. If you're there or you're not, it'll be there.
Fuck yeah. Well, with that being said, I'm the Ape at Nobody. We've had the pleasure of talking to Rev Trev today. So why don't you go outside and smoke and or touch some grass? And we'll catch you next time on the comms.